Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Sunday morning and afternoon and a night that will be coming up shortly, right? We've been looking at spiritual warfare. I'm kind of going to try to preach a sermon on that sometime this week and post it. But there's just the Holy Spirit just pulling me in a different direction to preach on something different today. So we will be in James 4, 13 through 17. The title of this sermon is "Time is Short. Tomorrow is Not Promised." And our key passage here is James 4, 13 through 17. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him know to do good, and do it not, to him it is sin." You guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you in your presence, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach and teach your word. Those that are listening today, Lord, I pray this is a blessing to them. That it goes into their ears and influences their life to be that light to a lost and dying world that is reaching for a hope that is in each and every one of us that are children of God, that are sons and daughters of the Most High, the Holy and Righteous God. Let our light shine in that dark. Let us be that lighthouse on that hill over that ocean of darkness with all the ships going to and fro, that our light will shine for their safety and give us the strength to always give an explanation pointing to scripture of that hope that is Christ Jesus in us. Lord, I pray over those that are sick under the weather. God, we lift them up to you, Lord, and pray over our nation that they turn away from their wicked ways and place their eyes back on God. We pray over our educational systems, our business systems, God. They're wondering what's going on. The problem is they have forsaken God. Majority have. And without God is so empty. I could speak for my life how empty it was before Jesus came into my life and changed everything. My true hope. And I pray that everyone that I see and talk to, that I can spell that hope to them. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, over the week, I was reading a headline. And, you know, I do a lot of reading. In this headline, this is a headline from The Hill. It's just a reporting source. Kind of gripped my soul. The title of the headline was "Huge, Huge Numbers. Insurance group sees death rate up to 40% over the pre-pandemic levels." Of course, the article goes into the COVID-19 and related deaths, and the in truth, we don't really know the realities of these numbers, and because there is so much manipulation there. But I started, you know, when I read this article, and you know, the and just looking at it and then looking at scripture, and my heart's really drawn to talk about death. Of course, time is short. Tomorrow's is not promised. That is the sermon. That's the title. That's the heartbeat of this sermon. And when we're looking at that, time is short, there is physical death. That is a reality. Most preachers will avoid the topic. I don't like, you know, it's rough, right, to preach on that or teach on that. For me, it is anyway. Until, you know, a lot of preachers will avoid it until they have to preach a funeral. And then the preachers get hit with the reality of their own death. You know, preachers, pastors, Bible teachers, evangelists, deacons, you know, they are human too. We're not superhuman. We have weaknesses, and we have to deal with the same issues that others have to deal with. Some people want to place preachers and pastors and etc. on these pedestals, and we're human. Of course, we are called to be leaders, so that just makes us more acceptable, to be honest with you, because we're under attack more than normal because of that position. It's like a leader in a, say, if you're thinking in military terms, and you have the general and underneath them, and if they can take out the general, then they can destroy the morale of the rest of the soldiers, and then everything is easy picking from that point, right? So when a man of God falls and into immorality, our hearts should be broken to that. But physical death is reality. If we don't see the coming of Christ within our time span, I'm talking about like us individually, because we don't know when we're going to die, our physical death. But if we don't see the rapture or the second coming, we will experience a physical death. And those who are not His, when they die, they will have a physical death, but they will also experience what we call a second death. That is a spiritual death. That is an internal separation. Was truly good. A placement in a place of everlasting torment. And that catch-all phrase you will hear is hell, right? But hell is, when we say that, is that place of everlasting torment, right? Not because God is a mean, cruel God, is because He chooses to honor your choice. If you do not want truly to accept Jesus Christ and walk a life different in this world, then you reject Christ, right? And you will not go to heaven. This is, I'm a straight preacher. I don't try to beat around the bush, right? You accept, you reject. No middle ground there. Most preachers will not be that direct with you, but I love you too much not to be. That's one of the problems here in America is preachers, pastors, they don't want to be direct. I guess, you know, they may have that fear of losing their money or something. I don't know. But if today was your last day on earth, and say you finish this podcast and you decide to go to town and you get in a wreck. And the wreck causes your life. Well, if you were a child of God, you will go to heaven. Right? If you're not, then you do not get to go to heaven. There is no second chances after death. To believe in that point is to very borderlining the Catholic doctrine of purgatory, which is truly no scriptural basis for purgatory. When the thief died on the cross, one of the thieves, the one that asked for forgiveness, he said, "You'll be in paradise with me." He didn't say, "Oh, Well, there is this middle place you'll be until... No, he says, you will be in paradise. And paradise is interpreted into that term we would call heaven. Right? It's the place opposite of torment. It's the place of everlasting joy. Because where Jesus is, where God is, there is peace and joy. Where he isn't, then there is chaos and destruction and torment. And you see that all through the scriptures, right? You don't see people after death having a second chance. You can try to make the scriptures say that, but it just doesn't. And we do not know when Jesus is coming back, the rapture, the second coming, right? Most of conclude this time is getting close. The second coming. We just do not know. But what we all can agree on, tomorrow is not promise, right? I don't say this to create a gripping fear in you and anxiety. I don't do that. It's just to bring this topic into your reality. None of us are promised tomorrow. Every day is a gift from God, even if you do not feel like it is. I know I suffer from depression. It's just, you know, if anybody follows this podcast, you know I do. And yes, I know God can heal me, and he chooses not to, so I'll accept that. Fact, as some will say, oh, you're lacking faith and et cetera, et cetera. And that's just people trying to make the scripture say what they wanted to say. And you can always conclude Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and then you can get in that whole debate. But wherever the thorn in the flesh was, God did not heal him. And it was clearly because he asked three times, he said, and he said, within that weakness, wherever it may be, I am made strong. I kind of view my condition, my specifically, I'm not saying all conditions, it's kind of like that, because it does keep me humble before God. It keeps me in prayer a lot. It keeps me studying a lot. So thank God for it. I know that's crazy, right? But that's what it is. You may agree with me, you may disagree with me, but the point is life can get hard. Life is filled with challenges. You only get one life on this earth, no second chances after your physical death or your spiritual death if you're not his. I once heard a preacher say, when you go to a cemetery, right, and you may have heard a sermon like this, you see a tombstone, and within that tombstone, part of that, you will see a year, a dash, and another year. Of course, we know that first year is the date of our birth, and that second year is our death, and a dash is everything in between. And the question is, if today was your last day on this earth, what would people say about you, right? When you die, what will people remember about you? Would it be those long hours you spend working for a company that will replace you in a heartbeat if anything comes up? Would it be the many degrees that you can hang on your wall? Say, look at me. Look what I have achieved. Would it be all the material things that you achieved or gained in this world, like a nice home and a nice vehicle and boat, and the list goes on and on. Will it be, look at my family, how big it is? It's extended. Or will they say that you are a man or a woman of God? That you love God and his love overflow from your life and the way you walked in it. Your fruit of the Holy Spirit just poured out. Your life pointed to Christ. Man, I want them to say that about me. Not in a weird and awkward way, but he was different. And of course, the heartbeat of this message today is time is short. Tomorrow's not given. And you can extend that to the application part of that. We know we do all through the Holy Spirit that guides us. But what are you going to do about it? Remember, there is a action too to our Christianity. We are to be doers too. And we can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. So we lean on the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, right? In our reading today, James 4, when we look at verse 13, it says, "Go to now, ye that say," and I use the King James Version, just I guess habit, but "ye" just means you that say, "today or tomorrow will you go to such a city and continue there a year and buy, sell, and get gain," right? So when we see that the first three words, that phrase, "to go to now," this is an aggressive phrase, right? If I was looking at somebody and I said, "Hey, go there now. Go to my house. I believe I've left my stove burners on. I believe my house is going to burn down. I can't leave this where I'm at right now. I need you to go now." You may look at me like, "Well, why would you do that? And why would you even do that?" Yeah, I'm absent-minded. I can't help it. I get everything and I forgot. But I need you to go now. This is aggressive language. And James is looking around and he's speaking and he's showing, "Go to now, ye that say," that you say, you go now. They're saying, "I am going." That is ambitious, right? I'm going to be ambitious. And they're saying, "Today or tomorrow." See, they already have tomorrow planned out. It's already planned out. They're going to go to this city. And they're going to continue there for a time. And they're going to buy and they're selling. It's going to be lucrative. They're going to make money, right? They're going to get gain. In this world, you know, just as in James' world, and the world will want you to think that money makes the world go round. I'm going to tell you this clearly. God makes the world go round. Yes, we need money to survive. We got to pay our bills and we got to get groceries and all that. But without God providing us the strength to work, giving us the strength to get up in the morning and do a job, we wouldn't be able to make anything. We could barely put our shoes on. But you know, you look at this, right? And it's aggressive. Go to now. Go to now. Today or tomorrow, we will such city and continue there. This is what the world called being on top, right? Being that man. You got this, right? World encourages this type of behavior. And the sad through most churches in America will encourage this behavior, saying, "You got this. You can handle this." Instead of saying, "Hey, you can't handle nothing without the Holy Spirit guiding you and directing you. You need that Holy Spirit in your life." People like Joel Osteen will say you can have your best life now. That you're the master of your destiny. Stephen Furtick, right? Which claims that he is God Almighty and that we can be gods. Heretic language. And they're worth millions. Because they sell this what we call self-help. Self-help books are worth a million. Pop psychology. And I can tell you psychology. Because by now I would have had my PhD in psychology. And when I open some of these Christian books, all it is psychology with a Christian bow wrapped around it so they could sell it. And it sells by the millions. Guys are worth tons of money. Beth Moore, George Meyer, same. They take their business model right from the world. That's how they run their church, and just, you know, like the world. And by the world's definition, they are successful. Sad truth, right? It breaks my heart. We shouldn't treat a church like a business, like the world does. We govern our church by our scriptures and the way God tells us how to run a business. And he does tell us how to be a steward of his. And we should go by the word of God. Anything that deviates from that, we should be very cautious. Not saying we can't use it. We just got to be cautious. Scripture first. Foundation of anything else. As a true Christian, we should never look at the world as a way of running anything. Our love should focus more on Jesus Christ in this world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man or woman love the world, the love of the Father, and not say any man, I add that or woman in there because is referring also to woman, love the world, if any man love the world, or woman love the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. Matthew 16:24, for what is a man to profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Same thing, man, woman here. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one despite the other, and you cannot serve God and mammon. And of course, I could keep going on and on. This world, we should not have this love for this world, a conforming, the blending to cater to this world. Our love for our Father should be greater than anything that we cherish in this world. Anything. And if you truly are a child of God, you have truly placed your trust in Jesus Christ, right? Trust in Jesus Christ by believing in his birth, death, that crucifixion, that resurrection. You have committed your life to Jesus Christ by acknowledging your life has to be different. Your life is no longer about you, but Christ that can do that through you to do things around you, right? This regeneration, you're no longer your old self. You are now new in Christ. You're no longer, oh, you're new. A new creature. Your heartbeat in this life is to glorify Christ by the way you live your life. If you do not like this, you reject Scripture. If your mind says, I don't need to change anything, I like my sin, I'm going to keep living in my sin, so on and so on. You can find a ton of false preachers out there telling you that it's okay, I can still be saved and still live in my sin. Guess what? They are wrong. They counter the Word of God. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, I encourage you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, read that. Read them. Read those gospels. They're what they call synoptic gospels. You read them together to get the full picture. And after you read those, during that whole time, just look where Jesus was saying, okay, I'm okay with your sin. Keep sinning, because I love you. I'm just asking you to go check it for yourself. You will find nowhere where Jesus okayed sin. So why are we okay with it today? Perversion of the gospel. It's really that simple. We are not supposed to live a life of sin. Our heart should be broken when we sin against God. And to serve two masters, you can't do it. To tempt it is going against God's word, and that is a sin. And according to the scriptures, you know, Matthew 6:24, you will hate the one and love the other. You cannot sinning expect everlasting life. You cannot conform to this world and blend into this world and expect everlasting life because you're going against Scripture. Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sins, it shall die. Romans 6:20. For the wages of sin is death. That is that spiritual death. But you don't have to experience that spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's that spiritual death and there's that spiritual life. You have options. You keep sinning and keep enjoying it. No repentance. You do not care. You will die and you will go to hell. Or you will repent and confess and ask forgiveness of your sins as part of the true Christian life. With this mindset, you will have eternal life when you die. Time is short. Tomorrow's not promised. You don't know if today could be your last day, right? Your life should radiate the light of Christ every day. What do you want to be remembered as? Remember as that person that makes it to work on time? A good worker? Those are good. But guess what? If you truly are a child of God, you will be that good worker. And you will show up on time, right? But you will add another component to that, right? Because the Holy Spirit living in you. You will shine throughout your day. I'm not saying you're going to have ups and downs. We will. Anyway, I get that. I have them ups and downs. I can feel that strain of the day. I want to lose it. But then I say, Holy Spirit, give me strength to endure the rest of the day. Help me not lose my stuff, man. Because I can easily. I am weak. You are strong. Give me strength to endure. I pray that on a daily basis a lot of times. Because I can't do this life without Him. I am too broken. Maybe some people are not that. They got it. Not me, though. But when you are living for Christ, Colossians 3:23-24 says, and who whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord, whatever you do. You're not there just to make money. We have to, right? But you're representing the Heavenly Father on this earth, which is not our home. Praise the Lord. It's not. Praise to His holy name, and His name is most holy. Our inheritance is beyond what we can imagine. And when you're living that, yes, you will have people that will not want to be around you. Because that conviction of the Holy Spirit and the way you're living your life is different. But I guarantee you, they will acknowledge when you pass away. They will contest, tell people about the person that you were. Walls talk, right? They may void you in this lifetime because they don't want nothing to do with God and the Holy Spirit. Because when somebody has the Holy Spirit radiating from them, others feel the conviction. They may not understand what it is, but they will feel that conviction of their sin in their life. And God is using you to draw them to Him. And once again, they can reject this or accept this. They will come up to you and they will want to know, be around you more, and of course it leads to opportunity to tell them about Jesus, right? But if the time was up on this earth, what will they, those that kind of avoid you and don't want to be around, what would they say about you? Regardless if they know Jesus, they will say that you are different, not an odd different, right? And most will know that you're a Christian because you heard that phrase, the walls will talk. So-and-so, what's up with her or what's up with him? Well, he goes to church and or she goes to church and he really believes the Bible. So he tries to really keep to it. So he ain't going to want to do all this filthy language and all this other stuff. And we just kind of avoid him when we're talking because he ain't going to accept that because he believes in a God that's in the sky and I don't believe all that, and he believes that he'll be held accountable. I don't believe that. So we just kind of leave that alone. And see, that's, you know, they'll know. What breaks my heart, those that are professing and know Christ, and they keep blending, and they keep conforming, and they keep getting entertained with this filthiness of life and this ungodliness. And they're giving Christianity a bad name, right? And God will deal with them. Breaks my heart, but it's reality. We all will be held accountable one way or another for our life. And we don't know when that'll be, right? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And we don't know when our time is up. Today could be our last day. Verse 14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be the morrow, what is your life? Is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James here, he said, do you really know what tomorrow will bring? No. And he presents this question like, you know, I love presenting questions because I believe it's such biblical. Jesus presented questions. He said, what is your life, right? And then he answered that. He's looking at him and said, what is your life? You're running around. You're so busy. You're getting this gain. You're gaining all this stuff. But what is your life if it was up tomorrow? Is a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. That vapor, that fog, that mist, life is short. I love how he presents that question, that answer here. And I could extend that and say, what do you absorb your time and energy in? I love the Bible scripture in the Old Testament with Joshua 24:15. He says, and if it seem evil unto to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you shall serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or gods of the Ammonites in those land you dwelled. But then he says, but there's a contrast, right, to what that is. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's how I view me and my wife. For my house, we will serve the Lord. I will proclaim the gospel to those in love. And they can accept it and reject it. I don't have control over that. I do have control over my home. And for me and my house, we will serve the Lord to the end, regardless of what it may cost my family. Why? Because this life is short. It's not about me. It is a vapor, it is a flash. If I was to die tomorrow and they had my funeral a few days, I pray, you know, this message could be played. Because I'm gone. I am home. And I'm concerned for the living. Or I'll probably, who knows, at that point, we don't know if we'll be looking down or we're just, you know, all things are past, or we're looking in our spiritual eyes and we can see clearer because we don't have this flesh. But my concern now is those to join me in heaven. I don't see nobody go to hell. It breaks my heart. I preach my little heart out and pray it reaches somebody. I know it will. I know it won't be received well. I get that. These are tough messages. And I don't sit there and play around with these messages. They burden my heart tremendously to preach them. Because I know they won't be received well. this life, guys, it has its ups and downs, and I'm not immune from the ups and downs. I work a secular job, you know. I'm not one of those preachers that make a living preaching a few times a week, and Lord knows what they're doing the rest of the time of the week. I work 40 hours a week. I have a family. I preach here. I preach at a church physically, and I preach on a website. And I do all this by the grace and mercy of my God. I boast only in Him, that He gives me strength. Not me. I could, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I could barely get up in the morning. That is true. But I get, you know, working and making a living. And there may be people that are retired, and you know, you're retired now, and you can understand the whole making a living and stuff. But what is your priority? That's the key. Yes, we have to work. We have to make money. But are we putting God as the priority, and right? Are we putting Him as secondary? If we're planning to put Him on the back burner after Sundays, we got a problem. We need to realize that if you're putting God on He's only God on Sunday, and you're putting Him in the back burner the rest of the week, you got to realize you're serving the God of the world, Satan. You're serving Him more than you're serving God. Your work has become your idol, if we're talking about workplace. You have no feeling, conviction of this. You need to examine your heart, because you're not living a right life before God. You're lacking that conviction of the Holy Spirit living in you. And I know this is a strong statement. Now, don't say it lightly. But you will have your lukewarm, spineless majority of the preachers in America today will not hit you with this, because they already compromised. They are blended into this world. James 1:8 said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Goes back to, you can't serve two masters. Right? You serve God, you serve Satan. If you're a child of God, you will feel that chastisement and scourging when you're grieving the Holy Spirit that's in you. Hebrews 12:6-8. For whom the Lord loved, He chastens, and He scourged every son, that also can mean daughter, son and daughter, whom He receives. He, Lord, receives you. And said, if you endure chastening, meaning you're taking on this chastening, this correction, this conviction. God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what is a son and daughter is He whom the Father chastens not. This is a question. If you're not getting that correction, you're not getting that conviction. But ye be without that chastisement, right? Whereof all are partakers that are of Christ, right? All are children of God. Then the Bible says, then you are bastards, not sons. That word means you're not a son, and you're not a daughter. You are not. Look it up in the dictionary. Don't try to make this word say something it doesn't say. A bastard is not a son. He's not a daughter. And it's not popular. And as times get closer, they will try to shut men like me up by killing us or putting us in prison or whatever, or destroying our online presence, whatever, by us not reaching as many as we can. And they will keep people like Joel Osteen fully wide open, because they already compromised. They are already blending into this world. They're going to be part of the warm world religion one day. Now, I know that statement is controversial, but regardless, they will be part of, regardless if we're pre or post, there will be that one world religion present. And people like Joel, seeing that unless he repents and turns from his wicked ways, will be part of that. But if you're a child of God, when you sin, you will grieve the Holy Spirit. And this will lead you to to that confession and that repentance, right? Very important. And that asking forgiveness, which God always forgives, and asking God to keep you moving on, enduring to the end. God has to be first, guys, and we are supposed to be second. When we look at verse 15 through 16, James tells us, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to know to do good and do it not to him is a sin." James writes here, he said, he you need to get your focus on God and realize he should be the priority. If tomorrow is and we are blessed with tomorrow, if we live, thank you, Lord, every morning. And if you work at night, you'll be a night time. You work a night shift, that is your morning. Every morning should be a praise on our lips that we are alive to be able to go out there and to make a living or whatever we're doing and let our light shine among men. But to say that it's all ours, verse 16, "But now you rejoice, your boastings also rejoicing is evil," saying we got this, that is evil. And 17 say, "You know this, I tell you this, those that know to do good," that's been keeping the sayings of Scripture in this context too here, knowing that a day is a gift from God, and that we should lift him up and let our light shine throughout the day. To him not to do that is a sin. Do we get this? It's very important for us to be solid on things. Here's some personal reflections here. Questions. How is your Bible reading? How is your prayer life? How is your desire to go out there and tell others about Jesus in your community? How is your desire to go to church that is to a physical building, right, guys? That, yes, people, ever since the COVID, is this concept, oh, we're the church. And yes, that's right, we are the church. And there's a concept of home church. Yes, I get that. And I like home churches. And it may get to a point where they may shut churches down here in America. You have to do. But the buildings are open. Here in America, well, some may still putting the COVID restrictions and all that, but a physical building that you can gather physically with your brothers and sisters, if you do a home church, okay, at your home. A lot of stuff is going online, and that and in itself, that is good, but it still doesn't substitute for a building and meeting with one another, because that is important. Why? Because we gather strength with our brothers and sisters. Physically seeing somebody. Physically talking to somebody. We are social creatures, believe it or not. Some of us may not be as social as others. I get that. But in the end, while we can gather together in a building with others, that is a blessing. And to not do that is, you're sadly missing out. There's strength reaching out to your community. All right? Where are you at in your walk with Jesus? I pray it's strong. I do not know your walk because I don't see you. I don't know where your heart is, but God does. He knows if your heart is primary on Him or secondary. He knows how your studying of the Word is. Your desire for it. He knows how your prayer life is. He sees all. He knows all. And when these areas are lacking, if you are a child, the Holy Spirit should convict you. The sermon in itself should convict you. Because without doing those things, without keeping that daily maintenance, which the Bible tells us to do, we can easily fall for anything. And we are in a spiritual war, right? And we have to put on the armor of God, right? And we do that. And when you look at the armor of God, it hits on prayer and it hits on Bible. All right? The sword, double-edged sword, Word of God, truth, points to Scripture, the belt of truth, King James, the loins girded. Sorry about that. My alarm went off. My alarm went off on me. But yeah, the belt of truth. I call the belt of truth, loins girded, breastplate of righteousness, right? Guards your heart. I hide the word in my heart so I won't sin against thee, right? We should be students, right, of the Word of God. We should have scriptures memorized left and right. That's powerful to do that. When we do those things, it equips us. It keeps our mind focused on God. It gets our mind set right for the day when we have to go out into the workplace. You may have heard of this man called Paul, right? Once was Saul. And Saul was a persecutor of Christians. Became Paul when he had that Jesus encounter on the road of Damascus. It changed his life. He wrote Philippians quite a bit of it. He wrote Philippians, of course, about two-thirds of the New Testament. But in Philippians 3:8, he said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, you count them but dung, basically crap, that I may gain Christ." Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? Meaning he was learned. And Paul was a tent maker, right? It means he had a good business, he was making good money. But he said, all these things, I could care less. He uses strong language. See, Paul didn't sugarcoat it. He would be kicked out of most churches in America today because he just doesn't go along with a narrative as sugarcoating the gospel and telling people what they want to hear. They're itching ear, massage me, tell me everything is okay. And all I want to sin, all I want my dirty grace, all my life is sin. I want to keep doing what I'm doing and still say I'm a Christian. Oh, I don't want to believe parts of the Bible. I'll tell you that is contrary to the Word of God. He said, but Paul said, hey, then my life, all this stuff is nothing but literally poop. Crap, it smells bad, I could care less, I count all things but loss, dung, but you know, the only thing that counts is what I gain in Christ. He didn't want this world's approval. Jesus came first. He came second. This world came second. Jesus Christ is a priority in his life as he should be in all of us. At work, at home, at school, at college, at public events, at gas stations, at grocery stores, wherever you is, God is a priority, a function of our life, but really is He? Is He? When you say your work, or when you put your work over your Bible reading. You get home like, oh, I don't feel like doing that. Or you get home, you're like, I really don't want to pray. Or you rather focus on your family more than you're studying your word. And there's, of course, there's a balance there, of course. When you say my business is more important than studying the word of God or prayer, this should grieve your heart. But you're like, whatever, this is okay. I'm okay with this. There's something serious wrong with your life. This should create conviction in your heart. And without that, as in Hebrews 12, say you're not his. You're a bastard. Meaning, if you die today, you would not go to heaven. You would go to hell. God cannot honor that lifestyle. And I always point to scripture, the word of God. I don't try to give my opinion too much. Scripture should tell us everything. In closing, the sermon in one line is, time is short. Tomorrow is not promised. This is the heartbeat of the message, and this is the key to get from this sermon tonight. Time is short. Tomorrow is not promised. You get one physical life to live on this earth, just one. We don't know if today will be our last. So what do we do? As a true Christian, we commit our life to Jesus Christ. We know this life is not about us, but what Christ can do through us. We recognize through the Word of God who Jesus Christ is and what He did for us on that cross and the resurrection. And we know when we come to Him, we commit our life to Him, our life changes, right? We are no longer the old, we are new. Yes, we will have struggles, but that's the Holy Spirit that comes into our life, and He will guide us, and He will correct us, and He will chasten us. And thank God, I get chastened, and I get scourged, and I thank God for it, because Jonathan can mess it up royally. I promise you, I am human. And I thank God every day for the Holy Spirit guiding me and directing me, because I'm not perfect. I'm not superhuman. I need God every day. It keeps me humble. And when I fall short of that mark, in a sense, we all will. But when I sin against God, my heart is broken inside. And thank God for that. It is us to know that when that conviction hits us, repentance is our key here. Confessing our sin to Jesus, and He will forgive. Turning away from that sin, not glorifying our sin and keep living in it. And I also encourage you, just look at sin. Do in the New Testament. You can, because it might be overwhelming to do a whole look in the Old Testament. But look at sin and how in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, just those three books, and see how Jesus responded to sin in one's life. Did He ever say that was okay? It's amazing how Jesus, He would just, when He encountered people, He changed them, and He was not received very well. We know that because they crucified Him, right? He got a criminal execution, but there was nothing that He did to deserve that other than loving us. He was the blameless Lamb of God. But He changed them one way or the other. They hated Him and those that loved Him. And the same will happen to us. as we live in this world and we let our light shine, there will be people who will not want nothing to do with us. Not that they, and we're doing this, we're not being awkward and weird about it. They just know that we're different, that we don't blend in to their conversations. We live our life a little bit different than they do, because we have the Holy Spirit in our life correcting us. And we let our light shine. And when you do that, they will feel the conviction of their own lives. And some will not want to be around you. I can contest to this. I've been working since I was maybe 14. But when I came to Christ and learning to walk more like Him and less like me, I found that majority of the people I encountered, they didn't want to hang out with me anymore, because not because I was being awkward, just because I was living my life a little bit different. I wasn't cussing and I wasn't drinking to get drunk and doing all this other stuff. I wasn't doing drugs and all that, and wasn't looking at pornography, and I was watching what I watched on television, and I was watching while I was listening. I was guarding my heart. Then people just didn't want to hang around me anymore. And I got those that called me a fanatic, because I just believe in living a life different than this world. And I don't consider that being a fanatic. I view that as being scriptural. And you will have those. But I guarantee those ones are calling me fanatical. If anything happened to me tonight, I lay my head down in my bed and go to sleep, and I don't wake up, and I wake my eyes up in glory, and that would be an awesome thing to be in heaven. Those people would probably say, you know what? That man, I may not believe in God, but man, he believed in God. And I would call him a man of God. And I pray that people will say that about you one day. And if you're a woman of God. Remember, that dash. Your birth. Your death. That dash. Everything in between. Matters. To let your light shine. To not conform to this world, right? We should not have the love of this world. First John 2:15, right? Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, right? Matthew 16:26, for what is a man a profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We shouldn't have that love. We should look at every morning as a blessing. We should realize that life is a vapor. It is so brief. It will be gone in a flash. And every moment in this life is a gift. And I pray that those that are hearing this message, that you are children of God. And if you're not, I encourage you to reflect on the message. And realize today could be your last day, right? And I encourage anybody listening to this podcast to send me a message. And I can get with you. I will even send you my phone number. We can call. We can talk. And I'm not going to be weird about it. I've talked to people about salvation for years now. The misconceptions of it. I've been presented with a ton of questions throughout the years. I'm not claiming to be no expert. I never will be. I'm just a man that is in love with his God and love his word. But don't let today be your last day, if you're having doubts about your salvation, or if you don't even know what it means to be saved, and on these, I have salvation messages scattered all through. Last year, I got them in the archives, and I have several already this year. But I'm available through just an email, or you can send me a Facebook request. Just put that you heard this podcast through Wake Up America Church Ministries. And I'll add you on my Facebook, and we can private message. Do not wait. And those that are children of God, I want to encourage you to live your life in a way that others will recognize that your life can be a living testimony to those around you, and that you are encouraged to tell others about salvation. Do not worry on what to say. Just study the Word of God. Be a student of God's Word daily. Pray daily. Seek His face daily. And I promise you, He will give you exactly what you need to say in the time that you need to say. But if you're not doing the studying of His Word and seeking His face through prayer, you will stumble. You will have issues trying to explain salvation to others, because it's only through the Holy Spirit that gives us strength. It's only through the Holy Spirit that I can deliver this message. I take no credit of my own. I don't. I give honor and glory to the God Almighty, the one that made heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity just to go into your word. I pray that whoever is out there hears this message tonight, it just resonates with them. I pray if they have any questions, God, they just get a hold of me, or get a hold of somebody, or they just get on their knees and they pray to the ultimate answer. That's you. You have all the answers. You use men like me, and thank God, because I'm just a servant of you, God, to answer questions and to give a reason for my salvation and to preach these sermons only through you and the Holy Spirit that's in me, that gives me the strength to preach these and to type these up, God. Only you. All the glory goes to you and not me, Lord. But wherever they are in their life, God, we pray that they just pray to you, or they seek somebody to help them out to through the scripture to expound maybe a local church in the area that is preaching the truth of the gospel. God, we pray that they reach out to them, Lord. God, we just pray. We pray those that are yours, God, that we are focused on the task at hand, that is to go out into this world before and to tell others about Jesus, if it's just through our workplace, through our family life, to our just daily activities, Lord. Our light should shine among this world, that we should give people that explanation if they need to know about the hope that's in us, the salvation that we have, and that we got to keep pressing on because we don't know when our time's up. Life is a vapor. It's so short. We thank you, God, and we praise your holy name. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.